This is the Israel Next podcast, the podcast for an inspired and credible Israel engagement. Was Aronson here behind the microphone as usual. This is Inside Out, giving you the Israeli perspective on the news, and it's a special edition that I just, it's going to be a short one, but I'm just going to deal with something that is very relevant today and this coming week. So I thought it would be good to get out there and give you an update and also encourage to prayer for Israel. So I hope you're having a great summer. It's always a time for reflection. You have time off, and it's good to even go deeper into certain things that you don't have the time to do the rest of the year. Read books, study a new topic. It's summer is wonderful in that sense. So I hope you're enjoying this summer wherever you are. Now, I'm making this short little version of Inside Out to speak about what is going on in Israel today and the coming days, because there are big things going on, and it's important that all those who have a heart for Israel will start praying for her or continue to praying for her. So we are talking about the judicial reform that we have been spoken about so many times. Now it comes to a critical vote that is going to be, as it if everything goes according to plan, tomorrow, Monday. Today, there's going to be debate in the Knesset about this law, and it's this law of reasonableness. And just briefly, I won't do all the details here, but briefly, the reason that this is an issue has to do with the relationship between the government and the Knesset, Israeli parliament, and the court system, especially the Supreme Court. And the thing is that there is such a thing as a reasonable clause. It's not really a law, but the Supreme Court has taken the authority to say, for example, annul laws or annul certain policies of the government based on the reasonableness of that law. And of course, something that is reasonable, that's pretty subjective. It's according to one's worldview, even personality, what you find reasonable and what another person finds reasonable. So this opens up for a lot of interpretation on part of the court system, and then, of course, the Supreme Court in particular. So that's why it's the Supreme Court does not have to show and point to a specific law that isn't new policy or new law contradicts. They can just say it's simply not reasonable. So that is a problematic thing because, as I said, it has to do with worldview very often. So the government want to get rid of that reasonable clause, or at least limit it. And that's also a discussion. Do they want to limit it or abolish it and so on? We won't go into all the details. But this law is going to be voted on tomorrow in the Knesset according to plan. And this past week, there has been a huge demonstration, like a march from Tel Aviv area to Jerusalem, ending yesterday in Jerusalem. And today there's again huge manifestation, but they've been walking since Tuesday and they came to Jerusalem yesterday. Tens of thousands of people, maybe 100,000, I don't know, but at least tens of thousands. These numbers are always controversial right now. Everybody's trying to either inflate them or reduce them, depending on which side you're on. And in addition to that, there was also a big demonstration in Tel Aviv yesterday against the reform and against this law. So the protesters here, they say that if, some of them at least say, if this law goes through, then Israel is on its way to becoming a dictatorship. Some will say that it's like already a dictatorship, but of course that is an exaggeration, but that it's the first step towards dictatorship, and so they see this as very crucial. Now, the law itself is not very it's not very drastic law. It's a minor law because the judges, they do have other measures to judge laws called proportionality and all kinds of other things that they can check a certain policy against. So this law is not really a big thing. And the former justice minister, Ayel Choked, she also wrote an opinion piece in one of the Israeli newspapers today, where she said that this our state is on the verge of collapsing due to a law that is meaningless almost, that is unimportant at least. So, but that law has now become the poster head, so to say, for the demonstrators. And so this week they also got a lot of support from persons serving in the reserve forces. They started out with the pilots, and then it spread to other elite groups, and now there are other groups within the normal army as well that has signed on to what do you call this? Well, they said that they don't want to serve in the reserves if this law goes through. So, and that has spread. In the beginning, it was just like tens of people, you know, and most of them then hundreds of people, but most of them were not even serving any longer in the reserves. They had finished their reserves, even their reserves service. But now it seems like this has spread, and again, debated how much it has spread, but it's bigger. And so... Now it is becoming a threat to the army's capability to implement their operations and their plans. That's at least what many of the commentators say. It has become so widespread now, this refusal to serve in the reserves, that it is a danger to Israel, Israeli security. So that is one side, the one side of the story, that they find this completely legitimate, the protesters, to demonstrate in this way and to use the military, then the service in the military, as a kind of pressure to get the government to comply with their wishes. Now, that is, of course, in the name of democracy that they're doing this, their war cry, so to say, that it's demokratia, democracy. So they're claiming to protect democracy, but it seems very much like they're using the military in an illegal way, or at least very questionable way, to force the government to comply with their own wishes. And this is an elected government that was elected just half a year ago by the people of Israel. So it is a very problematic thing to do. And the opponents of this, I mean, the government coalition and those that support the coalition, they, of course, look upon this as a non-legitimate attempt to topple the government. Anyway, they from the one side, they claim that if the law passes, it's the end of democracy. And from the other side, then they claim that the way you're operating is the end of democracy, because if the government now gives in to the protesters, then it proves that it is possible from a pressure group in society to use the military to get the government to change its direction. And that will open up for another pressure group in the future to do the same and use the military in the same way. So this is a very dangerous precedent. And a tragic thing about it all, or at least one more tragic aspect, is that former Prime Minister Ehud Barak is kind of very central in that protest movement, and really came up with the idea. There's a video of him calling for this manner of behavior already 3 years ago. Back then there was no judicial reform, and it had to do with how the government at that time, also the Netanyahu government, handled the corona crisis. But the goal was the same, to topple the government and using the military to do it, refusal to serve in the army. So that is very problematic, that now he comes back with the same claim or the same method, but another claim, claiming now that it is the judicial reform. So I've talked about this judicial reform a few times, and I said that the protesters are really exaggerating the consequences of this reform. Everybody, almost everybody, agrees that a reform is needed. But today, from the demonstrators, you won't hear that anymore. You won't hear that any reform is needed almost. At least they won't detail what that reform is. So this is a problem. And then, as I said, from the government side, they see the protesters' behavior as the big problem. So both sides accuse the other of making an end of democracy. The fronts are very hard. They are very tough. And it is a situation that I've never seen Israel been in. There are many, especially from the protesters, that have said that this week is like the week of Yom Kippur War, like the first day of the Yom Kippur War in 1973, when Syria and Egypt attacked Israel in a surprise attack, and they almost managed to win, because the Israeli army was not prepared and it took some days for them to organize, and those days were critical, really. So it is a critical time for Israel, because no matter exactly right where we are right now, it's a problematic if the government backs down and do not implement the reasonable clause, then they give in to this pressure group. And as I said, that has consequences for the future. If they implement the reasonable clause, this risks really getting out of control. So there's a lose-lose situation for the government right now. And that's what we really need to pray for the government, that they will have the wisdom and the courage to find the right way out of this. The problem is, as I've also mentioned before, there's no trust between the two sides. So even if the government would come up with a proposal, it will be very hard for the opposition to accept it, because they don't trust Netanyahu. Netanyahu don't trust them. You can understand, really, the way everything has played out. You can understand why there is a lack of trust. But this is something that has been going on for a long time, for several years, starting with these demonstrations against Netanyahu. So there are many things here that plays into the picture. It's not just the law reform. It's also the person of Netanyahu. It's also the court cases against Netanyahu. There's a lot of things playing into this. And that's less important. The really important thing is that Israel needs to come together, because right now, Israel's enemies are sitting on its borders and they are looking. There are many reports in Israeli news now from where they quote reports from television in Lebanon, Al-Manar television, that is Hezbollah's, their television network, where they report about what is going on in Israel, and they're interpreting this as a weakening of Israel. Also in Gaza, Hamas, they're speaking about this is the beginning of the end of the Jewish state. Now, that is not going to happen. I'm sure that even those that now say they will not serve in the army, if there would be a war, if Hezbollah would attack now, they would come to their planes, they would fight for Israel. There's no doubt about it, but it's used as a pressure against the government. So I think the enemies of Israel will do a huge mistake if they interpret this at the current stage as a weakness. But if this is allowed to continue, we don't know what can happen here. It's really not a good situation. So this is what I want us to pray for, this week especially, because it's also symbolic, and many commentators in Israel have pointed this out, that on Thursday, I think it is, starting on Wednesday night, is the 9th of Av. The 9th of Av is the day for the destruction of the first and the second temples, and many other calamities that happened to the Jewish people on that date, according to Jewish tradition. But especially the destruction of the first temple and the second temple took place on the 9th of Av. This is the Jewish calendar, and it falls in July, August. So and this year it's on Thursday, and the reason that the second temple was destroyed according to Jewish tradition is because of Sinat Chinam, hatred without a reason. Meaning there was internal division in Israel, hatred without a reason. So many are like drawing their attention to this, that right now we are in a similar situation because the words are very hard. The fronts, as I said, are very hard. The words and accusations that they haul at each other, they are tough. And it's really sad to listen to this right now, also in the parliament itself. So what is needed here is really reconciliation. Instead of sinat chinam, hatred without reason, they need ahavat chinam, love without reason, meaning love without condition. They need reconciliation. And there are also people in Israel speaking about this. We are here to show ahavat chinam, love without condition. So the Jewish people, they need to come together. And for that to happen, there needs to be leaders on both sides that take responsibility, that see that this is no longer about my agenda, this is no longer about my political future, or this is not about myself at all. This is about the Jewish state. And I'm sure that this will come. There will come a reconciliation. It might take time, but at the moment, something needs to happen. Somebody needs to step up and make sure that there's a compromise in some form. There is reconciliation, a beginning reconciliation. It will take some time before these tough months that we have been through now will heal, but that needs to happen. So pray for Israel this day and this week. If there ever is a time to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's interesting, that is the expression, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the symbol of government in Israel. That is where the government is seated, and that's where internal peace now needs to come. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is the time. And I also thought I wanted to read just some verses from Zechariah, because there are wonderful promises to Israel, and I want to read some of them here, because from them we can also direct our prayers. So I'm reading here from Zechariah chapter 8, verse 15. It says like this: "So again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear." I can just say that just before that, in verse 14, it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I am determined to punish you, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord." So here you can clearly see this is the program of the Lord, that truth and justice shall be spoken, that people should get close to each other, reconciliation shall take place. And it says here that in the same chapter that just as Israel was a curse among the nations, so Israel will be saved and shall be a blessing among the nations. And it says also that people shall come, inhabitants of many cities, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will also go." And then it says in verse 22, chapter 8, 22, "Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord." So these are the promises. It even says that in that day, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." So there are wonderful promises. There's a future for Israel. And And you can use these words to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that truth and justice will be spoken among the people, among the leaders. And pray also that there will be courage among the leaders to stand forth and to go against the trend. Because right now, the leaders on each side are pushed by their own camps to continue on the path that they have set, not to compromise. But there need to be leaders that dare to talk to each other, to rebuild trust between each other. So please pray for this this coming week, today, and this coming week. And as you do, read the Bible and just get encouraged by the promises of God and use the promises of God in your prayers. It's a very effective way to pray. So that's the short update here from the Israel Next podcast right now. But I find it very crucial that we pray for Israel this week. So with that, I'm going to finish with a priestly blessing, and I pronounce it on Israel. This is exactly what it says, where the priestly blessing is written in the book of Numbers. Aaron is giving this order that when you bless the people of Israel, this is what you shall say. And then after the blessing has been pronounced, God says, then I will put my name upon them and I will bless them. So that is what is going to happen. And this is what happens when we pronounce the blessing. So I'll pronounce the blessing upon Israel. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yechonecha. Yissa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. Amen. So until next time, say something good about Israel and pray something good about Israel.